You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Say hello to your friends, Babysitter's Club. Say hello to the people who care about this review. Nothing's better than friends, Babysitter's Club. Cause you know that your friends are always there, like Harmony.
Hello.
And Hunter.
Howdy.
And it's me, Mindy. And yes, I'm singing the song to the show from the 90s because I don't know what it really was from the show for on Netflix right now. It was really nondescript.
Wow. Beautiful. Lovely. Glad to be a part of it.
Thank you. Yes, we are talking today about the new Netflix series, The Babysitter's Club, based on the beloved children's book series by Anne M. Martin. It was made into a series in the 90s, and now it gets a modern reboot. I don't know if there's really much more to say in regards to the synopsis, but if either of you want to add to that, by all means, go ahead.
Well, I mean, girls in seventh grade want to make a club about babysitting with her friends. We got Christy and Stacy and Claudia and Marianne. Christy starts it. It's awesome.
As you might tell, this is the girl book series, which a lot of girls have a lot of affection for. But I'm quite curious to hear our man Hunter's reaction to this, because I think he had a positive experience too.
So, full disclosure, I only volunteered to be on this because it was short of a viewer needed to get this greenlit, and I was like, oh, no one signed up for Dead to Me Season 2. Thank you, by the way, fuckers, for not doing that. So I was like, I will go ahead and I will bite the bullet and be the third on this. And so I started watching this with my girlfriend who didn't read the books. I was somewhat familiar with them. I didn't, like, sit down and read all of them. Like, I knew a couple characters, but I really went in this cold, and son of a bitch, this show is excellent. I was watching it the whole time, and I'm gonna keep bagging on this movie for the rest of the year. It makes me hate The King of Staten Island more, because I was two episodes into this, so I was like, why am I giving a shit about these seventh graders in a Babysitter's Club? Like, it's absurd, but this show is, and I hate this term, but it's very, quote, woke, unquote. The term I'd probably use more is modernized. Like, they did a very good job of putting some issues into this that I went, I'm really impressed that you even touched on that. One issue in particular that I'll kind of save for later in the review. But
Marianne saves the day.
I don't have the episode listings in front of me, but sure. it's way better than it has any right to be. I will say that.
I have to agree. Like, it was, I have very fond memories of watching the show in the 90s as a young teenager, a young tween. That was even before that term was around, I think, and was really like, I was going to watch it just for nostalgia's sake, you know, just to kind of, oh, I remember this. I remember reading the books in middle school and early high school. Like, it's going to be great. I was not prepared for how cool it was. I was just blown away by how much care and thought they put into modernizing, like Hunter said, the series. My mind was blown around episode 2 or 3, and I was hooked. Like, within 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to enjoy this. Was not prepared on how much I really, really liked it and how how meaningful it was for me, and to see, you know, all these kind of modern, I wouldn't say modern, but more apparent issues that we have now, things like trans rights and, you know, not stigmatizing periods. Sorry, Hunter. But, you know, that kind of thing.
I have sisters. And, I don't care.
Yeah. that was really important to me. I can't rave about it enough. It was 10 episodes, right? 10,
yeah.
11, 12? I don't 10. Know. I can't even remember. Like, I was watching them back to back and could not have been happier. I went back to work this week or last week, and just watching this at the end of the day just made it for me.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you guys. I was the one who suggested doing this show because I was there thinking this was just going to be fluff. It is a children's show based on children's books, and when we're in the middle of a pandemic where it feels like the world is a dumpster fire, you know what? Sometimes you just need some fluff. And so when I started watching it, they follow the books. You know, Christie's Great Idea, Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls, The Truth About Stacy, all these up to episode 8 are all based on actual books.
Right.
So it's like, I knew these stories, and they were modernized, and that was fine. And I'm like, you know, The Truth About Stacy's like, yes, we all know what she has. She can't eat cookies.
It's diabetes.
Right. But that's the one where it started to shift, because I noticed it's like, it talks about online bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it has a biracial lesbian couple. And I'm like,
right?
Huh. And they're just there. It's not pointed out. It's like there. And I'm like, shifting mindset. And then it gets to Marianne Saves the Day, where you have this child and Marianne says something. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this child trans?
Yeah. Okay.
I even rewound it.
Okay. Wait, I'm raising my hand because this is the thing I want to touch on. So the show does a really good job of doing this because it shows her, but the way the camera pans, you notice that there's a closet full of boys' clothes. I went, huh, okay.
Yeah, same.
Well, it could have been tomboys, yeah.
And she says something along the lines of, those were my clothes from before.
Yeah.
Or those are my old clothes.
And I remember looking at my girlfriend going, wait, are they really going to touch on this? And I will say right now, my favorite character, I'm going to butcher your name. I'm so sorry, dear. Ixchotl Gomez. I'm sorry. I know that's wrong. But he plays Dawn. And so Dawn's my favorite character.
Dawn is amazing.
Because this girl, she's very... It's hard to...
She is a Latina activist,
yeah,
from L.A.
And it's hard to stand up for yourself fucking general, let alone at that age. And her dad, Richard, played by one of my favorite actors, Mark Evan Jackson, who you, of course, know from The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love her.
Not
no,
Dawn.
No, you're talking about Marianne.
Oh, I was talking about Marianne. You're right. Pardon me. That's right.
Marianne is the shy one with braids.
That's right. So she has this whole thing where she's babysitting this trans girl, and she starts running a fever, and so they go to the hospital. And again, the show didn't have to do this, but doctor's talking to the nurse, and Marianne flat out goes up to her.
They misgender her.
It's like, come on, sport, how you doing, little man, that kind of stuff.
And she flat out tells them that, you know, you are not helping her relax, and you need to find something that's not blue so that she can feel comfortable. And I remember pausing it and going, son of a bitch, I might like the show.
Well, even before that, after that first scene where it's just like, wait a minute, is this a trans girl? The very next scene, Marianne is talking to Dawn, and Dawn is explaining, you know, you're right-handed, right? What if the world was forcing you to be left-handed? Wouldn't that be uncomfortable? That's mm-hmm. what it's like for Bailey, who's the little girl. And it does this with a lot of things in the show, which is it takes a complex issue like being transgender, like civil activism, like internment camps.
Yeah, like, internment that was the camps. Other big one.
Yeah, and it breaks it down into kid-friendly understanding. And in a show that I went in thinking it was just going to be fluff, I was blown away by that. And it didn't feel like it was beating you over the head with it. It just, in many cases, they just existed.
Yeah, they were able to bring it up in such a way that it's like, this is just what it is. And that's how a lot of things should be done. Like, I'm in childcare, and I know a lot of people are very weird about, I mean, my kids are much smaller than, you know, teenagers, but still, you know, they're very weird about explaining things to kids. I'm like, seriously, they'll be fine. It's your hangups you've got to deal with. And just to be able to just lay it out like that, top notch. I was like, applause, applause. And I think I yelled across the room. I was like, there's a trans girl.
so
it's a little transparent.
This isn't really a complaint because she is in seventh grade, and Lord knows, you know, being a teenager is hard enough, and teenagers are just kind of shitty in general. If you don't think that, you clearly haven't talked to a teenager recently.
They are.
So Sophie Grace, who plays Christy Thomas, I wanted to choke her at least for the first half of the season. I was like, God, you ungrateful bitch. Like, she's so mean to everyone to a point where I was like, okay, girl. Like, she's really heavy-handed.
She's bossy.
But there is that point where, and I think the other thing about this show that's so great is that the characters are constantly calling each other out when they are being shitty.
They do.
Because, again,
on their bullshit,
a lot of lesser written shows would just kind of go like, oh, that's just banter and let it go. But there are multiple points where they go like, no, that hurt my feelings. Like, don't do that. That makes me uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, show. Like, I see you. going through it myself, Christy is dealing with her mom, played by Alicia Silverstone.
I feel so fucking old, guys.
I know.
Alicia Silverstone's a teen mom.
And it was really hard to have acknowledge her as the mom, because it's like she looks exactly like Cher, only with slightly gray hair. And it's just like, no, you're not.
Did y'all catch the Clueless joke that they made?
I did not.
But she calls, she's not completely clueless. That's the line Christy says. Oh, this is my mom. She's not completely clueless. I was like, oh my god.
Okay, I did not. It was weird to see her in this because I just watched Batman Forever, like, or Batman Robin, like 3 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, that's right. This is you. But I love the storyline with her and with her and Christy, because Elizabeth is being courted by this is like my one kind of gripe with the show. How you say his name? Mark Feuerstein.
Feuerstein?
Sure.
As Watson Brewer.
Not Watson's a nice dude, and Christy will not give this dude. She is kicking him basically in the balls
like the whole time
whenever he's in the room, and I was like, okay, girl, like you gotta ease up a little bit. Like, I get like meeting someone new who's trying to, you know, marry your mom is not ideal, but she is really giving him just nothing, and she does something to his car that he should have had her murdered for.
Yeah.
And she didn't really do it herself. It kind of happened on her watch.
Okay, but you're also admitting the fact that his kids were like, oh, this is where he keeps all his secrets. And without qualm, he's like, oh, I can get dirt on him? Cool. And of course, I was like,
that was kind of a dick move, yeah.
Yeah, so she deserved it. So he really could have buried her, and yet he shows her mercy, which I was like, oh, you're nicer than me, because someone fucked up that car. I, you know. But they talk about the whole divorce aspect and class, the fact that they're kind of barely making it, and Watson is very well off. And I appreciate that they touched on that in a very subtle way, too, because he ends up buying her brother
a car,
this really nice car, and she Elizabeth kind of freaks out, like, kind of initially is kind of like, all right, but then Christy has this thing with a dress that happens later on, and that's where she kind of goes full on, like, freak out mode. And I was like, okay, Elizabeth, you got bigger problems, like, calm down. And they have this kind of blow up that I went, that's a very realistic argument that you would have with your teenage son or daughter, and I really appreciate how real the show got at a lot of points in that sense.
Also really like how all the actresses look like they are 12 years old.
Yes!
You know, they're not, that's something that I remember from the 90s.
Yeah, they all look like they're late teens.
They looked older than 12. You know, I really, and like Claudia, I mean, they look like young women, and that I appreciate that so much, because even our characters like Claudia and Stacey, who are kind of fashionistas or whatever, are like realistic seventh graders going into eighth grade. You know what I mean? Whoever came up with this is a stroke of genius, you know, just because I like that it was real and didn't give unhealthy expectations for what you're supposed to look like as a preteen.
I will say that, you know, going back a little bit to what you were saying, Hunter, well, a gripe that I had, a little gripe, was that conflicts like the one with Christy and Watson tended to be resolved pretty quickly. Yes, she was mean to him for a couple episodes, but by the time it was the wedding, they seemed to be okay. And there's another one with Claudia and her sister, Claudia and Mean Janine. And it's like, First of all, Janine, nobody talks like that. No one. But it's like this relationship with her sister that is so cold and antagonistic ended up being resolved by the end of that episode. So it's like, it is a bit unrealistic that things like that would be solved. But then part of me is wondering, is that because it's written for kids?
There's a lot of art that I've hung out with throughout the years who do talk like that. So that wasn't the unrealistic part.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
If I was a parent, I would have smacked that kid. I was like, talk English like a normal person.
I almost feel like she might have been like autism spectrum representation. You know what I mean? Like that's
yeah,
how.
I can see that.
You know, a little bit. Like, you know, a little bit. But that never came out as a thing. So I don't know. But.
So again, not knowing the characters or the books or anything, so the moment Mimi is introduced,
Grandma.
I was like, I love her. I love her so much.
She's great notes.
Takayo Fisher is what I'm going to go with. As soon as I saw her, I went, oh no, something's going to happen. Because I've done this for long enough. I'm like, oh God, I like you. So of course something's going to happen. So when she has the stroke, I was like, that's really terrible. But it could have left it. The show could have really left it with just a stroke and been like, that's fine. But it adds that historical dimension about her time in a Japanese internment camp when she was 5. And the way that episode ends, I just thought was so poignant. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. I cried at least 3 times watching this show.
Aww.
Which, if you would have told me at the start of the year I would have been crying during a Babysitter's Club Netflix series, I would have told you you're full of shit. So, I mean... 2020, everyone. But
2020.
I don't really have a real gripe about this, except for the fact that, again, I wanted to choke Christy for like the first 4 or 5 episodes, but she eventually comes around, and I do have to remember that these are 12, 13-year-olds. I mean, I was shitty when I was 12 or 13, so.
Everyone was made of drama, especially little girls.
I know, who wasn't shitty at 12 and 13?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. But, so I really did like Stacy and her storyline with bullying. I love the way that kind of resolves itself. When you find out what happened, it's like, oh, like, I just wanted to give her a hug. I was like, you poor, I was like, that's fucking terrible. And it touches on boys, which was funny.
Boy crazy Stacy.
Yeah, that episode, Stacy was upsetting me. But again, everyone's ditched a friend to chase someone.
But at the same time, it showed tween gay boys,
right?
Not as a stereotype.
Right.
Yes. I loved that.
Same.
And they mentioned that that character was gay. And it was a nothing issue. Oh, God, I love that. That's like, feed me that.
That's one of the things I loved about this show is I like to call it the Lieutenant Uhura effect, which is you put something in your universe that to the outside world is controversial, but in your world is completely normal in order to normalize it. And this show does that with so many topics, and it does it so well. I give it so many claps for being that socially conscious about what it is trying to teach its audience by way of just being like, this is something that exists. It is not something to stigmatize. Here it is. And I think that is one of the best ways to teach people is to just let it exist.
That's exactly right.
So how about we go into final thoughts? We're going to go with the big burly man who cried over the Babysitter's Club. Go ahead, Hunter.
All right, you know, remind me to never go ahead and jump on a review to help you guys out again. Again, a few minor gripes. I actually really like the season finale, too. This really needs to be something that you sit down with your kids and watch, whether they're boys or girls, because there's something there, I think, for everyone. This reminded me of what Glee used to be before Ryan Murphy, you know, bastardized it.
Yep.
This is just incredibly well done start to finish. The other thing we didn't mention, every girl in the main cast really has their own sense of style, and I really appreciated that. I was like, okay, not... Everyone doesn't look the same. It's not like you're watching, you know, Bratz the movie.
Beginning prologues, if you notice, they open the journal. Each journal has a different cover to represent the girl that it's talking about and the point of view of the girl that it's focusing on.
I am embarrassed to admit I actually did notice that. But anyways, so I'm going to give this... I'm going to give this 9.2... turtles as a hilarious gift to an X out of 10.
I love that little turtle.
That turtle's great.
It's so great. And you, Harmony?
Like I said, I can't, like, I lose words because I loved it so much. And it was so refreshing. Just everybody is well cast. You know, for being a 12-year-old girl, these girls know what they're doing. Christy's annoying, but her character always was. You know what I mean? Like, from the books, from I remember, she's just bossy. That is her thing. She's bossy, and her dad abandoned her, so she's got some shit that she's dealing with.
Yeah, she's a female Chris, but sorry. She's that was for you, Chris.
No. But other than that, everybody's, you know, likable. Like, there's no real... I mean, maybe that's a gripe that there's no real, like, villain, but there never really was in the Babysitter's Club, you know what I mean? So if you're looking for, like, a great battle amongst babysitters, this isn't it, but...
Well, they have that rival club.
Except, like, that little bit in The Truth About Stacy, but that was in the book, too, so...
Oh, yeah, that was in the book, too, yeah, yeah. The teenagers that are just crap babysitters that were there... They're a nemesis. You know, maybe we can just hate on them. They're terrible. If you have young teens, tweens, it's definitely something for them to watch, especially if you're looking for ways to kind of broach these subjects without, you know, making a big deal about it. This shows you how to do that. It's just you normalize it. And that's clap, clap, clap to that. That's amazing. So I think I'm going to give this 9.5 whistles from dreamy, really too old for you, lifeguards.
I totally agree with both of you. This show was so surprisingly good. Like I said, I went in expecting fluff and I got schooled. All of the characters, as you mentioned, Harmony, it's hard for young people to be convincing as actors simply because they don't have the life experience yet.
Because they're 12, yeah.
Right. But these kids, they played off each other really, really well. They were really convincing. None of it felt flat. They were all, you know, they were all cast very, very well. The one kind of gripe that I did have through the series, it comes down to the fact that you have kids' stories being written by adults, so that some of the language and some of the conversations, which they were important conversations and they were interesting conversations, it's like, come on, this is from a 12-year-old. It's like, it's one of the reasons I could not get into Gilmore Girls, because I could not handle Rory. It's like, no, you are a child. No child has this kind of insight. You annoy me. These kids did not annoy me, but there were bits, I mean, other than Janine at times, but there were bits where it was like, this comes from an adult writer. But at the same time, that is a very minor quibble. The stories that were presented so convincingly, so heartfelt, and on top of that, taught lessons that are important to be taught in a way that didn't feel forced. This is something, if you have nostalgia for these books, or even if you don't, sit down with your kids and watch it together, because this show is just, it's great. And so I'm going to give it 9 landlines that were add-ons to your Ethernet cable. That was the first time I smiled as they explained why the club had a landline. It's like, because this was made in the 80s where nobody had a cell phone, so what are we going to do? Oh, it was part of a bundle.
And I love that phone. That phone is so 90s.
Didn't everyone want that phone? Everyone wanted that phone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do something I have not done on the podcast. I'm actually going to change my score. I'm going to bump it up to a 9.5.
Sweet.
I'm going to go... That is the one thing I will say. I was like, all right, the floor's kind of an 8 because of that, is because I was like, how are they going to explain the phone? And when they did, I was like, God damn it, that's clever. All right, props. like, because I get calls from Charter constantly. About that. So.
God damn it, Spectrum.